Corinthians 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Everybody got it? 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now watch the questions. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Of course, now the answer to that is obviously none. And what communion hath light with darkness? And the obvious answer to that is none. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? None. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? None. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? That simply means because all those preceding things are so, then there's something you ought to do in response. Wherefore, come out from among them. From who? Why, the unrighteous, and those that are in darkness, and that are on Baal's side, and the infidel. Come out from among all of them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Father, help us now this evening. Give us liberty and grace to preach. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to tell the truth and present it in an understandable way and with the right spirit. And may it be received, as is in truth, the Word of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, we are not diametrically opposed to Christmas. It's way overdone and all out of whack and all that stuff. And it's commercialized and we celebrate it in the wrong month and all that. But there are some things that we've picked up along the way that are associated or derived directly from occult practices. And those cannot be allowed in Christian practice. We have to separate ourselves from Belial. And we have to separate ourselves from the infidel. We can't let those kind of practices enter into our worship and our celebration. So, because of that, I want to talk to you tonight about a couple of things. I want to talk to you about that Christmas tree everybody has. And I know everybody loves them, and they're pretty. And I'll be quite honest with you, I love Christmas decorations. I was in a fella's house today, and he's got a big old cathedral ceiling, and he's got a tree in his living room 11 feet tall. And they've got it decorated, and the thing is absolutely gorgeous, just beautiful. But I'm not going to have one, even though I like them. See why? Well, because they're associated with the group that I've been commanded to come out from. So I want to give you some things about the Christmas tree and its association. You say, well, I'm going to have mine anyway. Well, it's free country. You can have it. And you can invite me over, and I'll look at your tree and think it's pretty, and I won't say a mumbling word, but it'll still be wrong. Amen? Now, look in Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord. Here's a commandment. Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs. Now, see, it's not Scripture. These are customs. These are traditions that have been picked up and passed on from generation to generation. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also it is in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Now, I've heard that taught that that's a Christmas tree. That's not a Christmas tree. That's a guy making an idol. That's a guy going into the forest and cutting him down a tree and cutting it and shaping it and making him a totem pole or some kind of an idol. But the point is that he's going to take that thing and he's going to adore it. One, he's going to adorn it, and then he is going to adore it. And that's exactly what we do with a Christmas tree. You say, well, I don't worship the Christmas tree. Well, I understand you don't worship it, but you do adorn it, and you do adore it. We love them trees. And they are a direct descendant of paganism. They come from the heathen. They were invented by the Druids and the Babylonian priesthood. They're not an innocent tree. They predate the birth of Jesus Christ by 2,500 years. Now, we've picked up the custom, and of course it's changed. You know, used to they took the evergreen tree or the fir tree and they strung colored paper around it and little ringlets and this, that, and the other, or put candles on it, which don't put candles on them. That's a great way to start a fire. Then we invented the electric light bulb, and now we put multicolored, flashing, twinkling lights on them and little glass balls, and we just make them adorable. But you still have to go out and cut it down, stand it upright, and adorn it. And when you get through, you step back and say, isn't that beautiful? Why, I think that's probably the prettiest tree we've ever had. The best ever. Where'd that tree come from? Well, that tree and the practice of fixing that tree comes from the Druids and it comes from the Babylonians. And they were part of their worship service. And so we're opposed to those in our practice of Christianity. Now, let me give you some information about that good old Christmas tree. These are articles that are clipped out of magazines and or newspapers. And it has to do with the Christmas tree and the mistletoe and the holly and the Christmas wreath. All those were symbols of the Druid priesthood. The custom of decorating homes with mistletoe originated as far back as the 2nd century B.C. among the Druids, the learning class of the Celts. Mistletoe was used as a ceremonial plant. Ancient Druids celebrated the start of winter by gathering mistletoe and burning it as a sacrifice to the gods. Hanging it in homes guaranteed a year's good fortune, and guests entering the home were embraced under it. Now, there's a custom we might could hang on to. Mistletoe was considered a plant of hope, peace, and harmony by the Scandinavians as well as the Celts. They call it Mistletium, and for them it belonged to Ferga, their goddess of love. The kissing custom is believed to have arisen from this association. I guess not everything the pagans did was... See, I got no sense of humor. Cheer up. Mistletoe is an evergreen plant that grows as a parasite on the trunks and branches of many trees, but rarely on an oak. It has thick clusters of small yellowish-green leaves, yellowish flowers, and waxy white poisonous berries. Don't eat the berries. Druids believed sprigs of mistletoe obtained from an oak tree had magical powers because they were so rare. They were given as charms. Later, the church forbade the use of mistletoe because of the pagan beliefs. They suggested the use of holly instead. let's see, where was I at here? The lighting of Christmas trees, first by candles and later by electric lights, is a relatively modern embellishment of the pagan custom of decorating the tree begun by the Romans before the time of Christ. According to researchers at the National Ornament and Electric Light Association, the use of Christmas trees originated with the Romans and spread to German and Celtic tribesmen as they celebrated the arrival of the winter solstice. Now, December 25th, shortest day of the year, is the winter solstice, and that's when the Babylonian mystery religions had their carnival or festival. It was in Babylon for years, and then it was moved to Rome in about 313 A.D., and that was their big celebration, and they celebrated that with giving of gifts and mistletoe and holly and the Yule log and Christmas trees. They started that centuries before Jesus Christ was born. The main holiday of the pagan world was celebrated on December the 25th. Has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born in September, October. So when we use December the 25th, we are, in fact, capitulating to the pagans and celebrating it on there. Do you ever wonder why Christmas was a worldwide celebration, even for countries that are either only nominally Christian or not Christian at all? It's because the holiday had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It was a pagan celebration for the end of the year. It was the winter solstice. And it was a pretty much universal holiday. And you say, well, how did we end up celebrating Christ's birthday on December the 25th? I'll show you that in a second, and you can blame it on the Roman Catholics. Where am I at? Roman spread of Celtic winter solstice, which marked the movement of the sun back to the Norman climates. Other pagan customs adopted in the 4th century by Christians in their observance of Christmas included hanging holly and mistletoe, as well as burning the Yule log. Yule, an old name for Christmas, which originally meant winter festival. There's nothing about Christmas Christian. Absolutely nothing. Was celebrated by the pagans with huge log bonfires, a practice which was continued by the people of Northern Europe after their conversion to Christianity. They just adopted the pagan trappings. The practice of burning Yule logs continued through the years, and eventually the custom was expanded to include the placements of a coniferous tree within the household. The conifer, or evergreen tree, then became one of the symbols of Christmas, the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree endured through the years and became the focus of Christmas festivities in homes and public squares throughout Europe and North America. Eventually, someone thought of decorating the Christmas tree with candles, and that practice spread worldwide. It was not until 1882 that the world's first electrically lighted Christmas tree was lit in New York City in the home of Edward Johnson, an associate of Thomas Edison. Since that time, the electrically lighted tree has become the focus of Christmas celebrations in homes throughout this nation. You see how that word focus keeps popping up? Because it is. People don't feel like their home is decorated if it doesn't have the tree. They don't think they're ready for Christmas if it doesn't have the tree. They make a big deal in a lot of homes decorating the tree. The family gets in and daddy puts up the tree, and then mom and daddy and the young'uns sprinkle all the tinsel and the lights and all. It's the focus. More time is spent on that than it is praying to Jesus Christ. See? Focus in the wrong place. Estimates that more than 50 million light sets and 500 million ornaments will be sold this year. For what? To decorate a bale bush. Amen? Let me give you this little tidbit along the way here. Not long ago, this is a newspaper article. Not long ago, church fathers wanted to keep Christmas out of the church. They considered it sacrilegious. An article in the New York Times on December the 26th, 1855, reports that the churches of the Presbyterians, Baptists, Methodists will not be open. They do not accept the day as a holy one, but the Episcopal, Catholic, and German churches will be open and decked with evergreen. So you come from a long line of dissenters. Your forefathers had enough sense to realize Christmas was a pagan holiday and refused to participate in it. Of course, time wears folks down and folks give in. It's just like forever and ever when Easter comes and they have the 40 days of Lent and all that stuff, the Catholic Church and the Episcopal Church used to put their cross out front, and then they'd put their white rag across it, you know, the little thing, and then finally they put the purple one on there. You've probably been by Episcopal churches and stuff, and you see the long, flowing piece of cloth hanging across the cross. Well, you know what's happened in the last few years? The Baptists are doing it. Say, why? People like pomp and circumstance. People like celebrating. People like they like all those charming things. It's just human. We just like it. And so, if somebody keeps doing it, sooner or later, somebody else picks it up. And it just spreads. And now it's spread to the Baptist churches who ought to know better. Amen. I think sometimes that we forget that we are Protestants. Protestants means Protestant. The Baptist church and the Protestant church, we're called Protestant because we protested the abuses of the Roman Catholic Church and came out of that mess. Your heritage is to protest, to be against. Amen? And we're losing that. We need to become more protesting. Now, let me give you this article. This, I think, is very interesting. This article is on Christmas, and it's from the Encyclopedia Britannica, page 643, the 1958 edition. Now, don't buy a new Encyclopedia Britannica. Those things are absolute junk. They're put together by what's called revisionists. They have changed history until it's almost unrecognizable. And they have complicated the use of their encyclopedias, so the first book in the new set of Encyclopedia Britannicas is a book on how to use the reference set. There's a whole book. It's this thick. So that you can figure out how to use the thing because they've got it so complicated. But back in 1958, it was pretty much straightforward. And here's what the Encyclopedia Britannica says, and it's one of the most recognized and trusted reference materials in the world. The exact date and year of Christ's birth has never been satisfactorily settled. That's not true. I have it settled. This guy didn't have it settled in 1958, but in 2005 it's fixed. And I'm going to show you that in just a few minutes. Amen? But when, now listen to this, this is very important, listen to this. When the fathers of the church in A.D. 440, that is 440 years after Jesus Christ, decided upon a date to celebrate the event, referring to His birthday, they wisely chose the day of the winter solstice. Now, let's talk about that for a minute because you need to get the impact of that. The church fathers, Adametrius, Origen, that whole crew, Eusebius, that whole crew, Artaxerxes, that whole crew, the church fathers, 5 centuries after the death of Christ, decided that we needed to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. They wanted a day on which to celebrate it. Now, the article said they wisely chose the date of the winter solstice. That's December the 25th. Why did they do that? Because it was already an established holiday throughout all of Europe. And so to incorporate this new holiday would not require a change in custom or tradition. And people were already in the holiday spirit and used to celebrating at that time of the year. So it just made it easier to get Christmas in. And so they took the date of a pagan celebration to pagan gods and fixed that as the chosen date to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, knowing full well Christ wasn't born in December. Nobody that's ever studied the Bible has any problem with that. Now, this guy said he don't know the exact date of the month or year. Well, we know all that. But he probably didn't have all reference availability of all the reference material we have. But the key point is that the Roman Catholic Church, in order to take their holiday and have it embraced by the vast multitude, picked a day that was already established as a major pagan holiday. And that's why you celebrate on December 25th. Now, I don't like that, but we're 2,000 years down the road, and we're not going to change it at this late date. So, I'm one of the people, you know, I'm pragmatic. Fix what you can and live with what you have to. Now, we don't have to have Christmas trees, and we don't have to have Santa Claus. It is way too late to change the date we're going to use. The whole world's set up on it, so we're going to have to capitulate on that point. If it was left up to me, we'd celebrate it September the 15th, which is when he was born. Is everybody with me so far? I can tell y'all terribly excited. Not everything we need to know is always interesting or exciting, but it needs to be done anyway. Now, where was I at? Why has he chose the winter solstice, which was firmly fixed in the minds of the people and which was their most important festival? So they chose the winter solstice because it was the most important festival of the year to all the pagans. It just made it easy to slip it in. And of course, what happened was when they slipped it in with the pagan celebration, guess what? Then we in turn picked up all the pagan practices to go with it. See? Nothing's free. For several centuries, Christmas was solely a church anniversary observed by religious services. For centuries, all Christmas was to a Christian was they went to church and they worshiped God and thanked Him for the birth of Jesus Christ. And I could live with that. And it was that way for a long, long, long time. But nothing stays the same. Jack Hiles, who was one of my heroes, used to say, the best way not to change is not to change. But you can't get that through people's head. They think they can make little changes and everything be the same. But cumulatively, little changes make big changes. And you make enough little changes, you can't tell where you started from. You let down a little conviction here, make a little concession there, tolerate a little something over here, and before you know it, you're gone. The best way not to change is not to change. He said, well, I can allow this and it'll be okay, and you might can. But what about the next thing? And if you allow this and you allow that, don't you ever think that the next generation behind you is going to stop where you did. They're going to allow this and they're going to allow that. And boy, in just a few generations, you're nowhere near where you started. How do you keep the next generation straight? Don't change. Don't change. And teach them not to change. Anyway, For several centuries, Christmas was solely a church anniversary observed by religious services. But as Christianity spread among the people of pagan lands, many practices of the winter solstice were blended with those of Christianity because of the liberal ruling of Pope Gregory I. He allowed change. He allowed the inclusion of pagan practices in Christian worship. And once the dog is out, you can't put him back. And so we got the December the 25th, which is a pagan celebration from the Catholics, and we got our pagan customs from the Roman Catholics. Many customs, besides those of lighting and fire, date back in some way to those pre-Christian origins. Among them, Christmas decorations. The Romans ornamented their homes and temples with green boughs and flowers for the Saturnalia, their season of merrymaking, and the giving of presents. The Druids gathered mistletoe with great ceremony and hung it in their homes. The Saxons used holly and ivy. For what? Well, Saturnalia, their pagan goddess. Now, we just read 2 Corinthians 6 that shows that anything that is associated with paganism, heathenism, or idolatry is forbidden to us as Christians. So all those customs, the tree and the Yule log and the mistletoe, aren't to be practiced by practicing Christians. He said, but I like it. Well, I like a lot of things. But it don't mean I can do them. It doesn't mean it's right. Somebody say amen. Well, I'm not getting any amens now. I'm not getting much help. Now, let me, I got to hurry because I got to go. So I'm going to skip a whole bunch of stuff. Aren't you glad? I want to pass these out. Brother Ryan, if you would help me here, young man. I didn't mean to wake you up, everybody. If you would be kind enough to give one of those to each household. Now, what he's passing out there is a little thing on when Jesus Christ was born. And I must confess, I wrote the paper, and I did that, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I guess. Brother Danny Castle called me one night, and he was teaching his church about Christmas and Santa Claus and the Christmas tree. And he couldn't preach to his church when Christ was born. Now, he knew when Christ was born, but he didn't know how to teach it so that they could understand it. He didn't know how to prove what he believed. And so he called me up and he asked me if I would work up a paper and let him have it so he could teach it to his people. Now, I've never done it here, but since I saved a copy, I thought I'd share it with you. Now, I want you to get your Bible and get that little piece of paper that I just gave you. And I want you to, we're going to look at a couple of places so that you can understand Jesus Christ was not born in December. Okay? First of all, take your Bible and let's look over in Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, And her name was Elizabeth. Now, so here we have a priest named Zechariah. And it tells you what course he was at. Now, what that is, there are 24 courses in the priesthood. And so, every priest had to serve twice a year for a week down at the temple. And they were all assigned a function to perform during that week. And then three times a year, every priest served all at the same time. When a priest's course came up, when his week of service came up, he was just there for a week and then he went back home. And he had to do that twice a year. But at Pentecost and Tabernacles and Passover, all the priests were there for that week. Okay? Now, Zechariah is of the course of Abiah, right? All right? That's what it says for in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Now, take your Bible and go back with me, if you would, to where am I at? 1 Chronicles. Chapter 24, 1 Chronicles 24. Now, in 1 Chronicles 24 are listed the 24 courses that the priest served in. Look down in verse 7. Now, the first lot came forth to Jehoram, and the second to Jedidiah, and the third to Hiram, and the fourth to Shoram, and the fifth to Malachijah, and the sixth to Majum, and the seventh to Hezek, and the eighth to Abijah. Now, Abijah is Abiah. It goes from Greek, from Hebrew to Greek. And so there's a difference in the spelling. But that guy, the eighth one there, is Abiah. Number eight. And if you go back and look in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, Zechariah was of the course of Abiah. And Abiah is the eighth course out of the 24, right? Now, if you look at that little paper I gave you there, you'll notice down there that there is a list of the Jewish months and our months. Nisan and Abib is March and April. And the reason for that is this. You say, why are there two? Well, March and April are needed because every one of the Jewish months starts in the middle of one of our months. The first month, Abib, starts in the middle of March. So where's it going to end up? It's going to end up in the middle of April. So when you take that Jewish calendar and transpose it to our timetable, you have to start, every one of their months will split one of our months right down the middle. It'll start, their month starts at 14th, 15th, 16th, right there in the middle. Okay? 2 weeks into one of our months, which is kind of confusing, but you have to deal with it because it's there. And the reason for that is because if you look up there in the first point, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, and Exodus 13, 4, God changed the calendar on the Jews. When they came out of the land of Egypt and headed into the promised land, God changed the calendar. He said, "This shall be the first month unto you." And he did that in the middle of a month, in the middle of a year. And so their calendar doesn't match ours. You say, well, that's kind of boring. I know, but it's important. Why is that important? Because if you know that Zechariah's with the priest and he was in the eighth course, and you know what the months are, you can find out when he had to serve. For example, the month Abib is the first month. There are 4 weeks in a month, right? All right, so each priest serves 1 week at a time. So you've got one, two, three, four courses in the month of Abib. Their month splits ours, so that's going to be March the 16th or 15th through April the 15th. Then Iyar, their second month, has got 4 weeks in it, so that's four more courses. So when is the eighth course? When would Zechariah be down at the temple? Why, he would be there the last week of Iyar, which would be the last week of May. You got that? Some of y'all just look totally perplexed. It's really quite simple. Now, he finishes up at the end of May, and he's ready to head home, except for one thing. The next week is Passover. And all priests have to be there for the week of Passover. Three times a year. Three times a year, all priests have to be there. So Zechariah goes down and serves his course, the last week of Iyar, but then he has to be there the next week, which is the first week of Sivan. Got it? First week of May, thereabout. So he serves that week, which is going to be the 15th through the, 21st of that month. Then he goes home. That's going to get him back home when? Right around the 1st of June. Within a day or two. So why is that important? Because when you go over and read Luke's account about Zacharias and Elizabeth, and she goes down, she hides herself for 5 months, and then finally she goes up in the hill country and to her relatives and confesses she's 6 months pregnant. The Bible said, and it was the 6th month with Elizabeth when she gets down there. If you take the time that he came back from the priesthood, from serving in the temple, until the time she conceived, 6 months later, he comes back home the first week or second week of the first week of June. 6 months from that is what? December, somewhere around in there. November, December. That's 6 months. Now, 3 months later, John gets born. We're in March. Right? Now, when Elizabeth goes and finds, goes to the hill country, Mary comes to visit her, and the angel comes and tells Mary the power of the high is going to overshadow thee and that holy thing, all that. So 9 months later, Jesus Christ is born. From March plus 6 months is what month? September. There is no doubt in this world Jesus Christ is born the end of October, first half of September, according to the Bible. Now, you can take that little chart home and study it, and because I realize going over it and just talking about it, it's kind of sometimes hard to get all them names and all in your head. But your Savior was not born on the day of the celebration of the winter solstice for a pagan priesthood. It didn't happen. So when you celebrate on December the 25th, and I know you have to because no way in the world you can change things now, but don't you ever think for a second Jesus Christ was born then. And don't you ever think for a second that all those pagan practices that we all like are Christian. They're all a direct result of adopting a pagan holiday to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and in return, we got all their pagan practices. Now, I've always liked hanging mistletoe. Amen. But it's still a pagan thing. And as Christians, we're supposed to come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. Now, every time I preach this, and I don't preach it every year, every 3 or 4 years or whatever, somebody always gets mad and thinks I'm taking all the fun out of Christmas. Listen, you can have a great Christmas without putting up a Christmas tree. You can have a great Christmas without any of that pagan claptrap. You can worship Jesus Christ and have family and friends over and eat a lot and fellowship a lot and thank God for His goodness and His mercy and have a great Christmas season. Amen. And you don't need Santa Claus. And I didn't even get time tonight to do Santa Claus. But that's about one of the most abominable things on the planet is Santa Claus. I don't even get started. But anyway, if you take that little paper I gave you and look at it and study it, you can and look up the references, you'll see that Jesus Christ was born end of October, first half of September, months before we celebrate His birthday. Amen? And there wasn't any Christmas tree there. And there wasn't any wise men there. And the gold and frankincense and myrrh weren't Christmas presents. They weren't birthday presents. They were presents to a king. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Amen? All right, let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Pray now that you'd watch over us, keep us safe, and help us to enjoy the Christmas season. And remember, Father, that it's to celebrate the birth of our Savior. It is not to give glory to pagan gods. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.